Do you believe that God longs for your flourishing and has indeed purchased it, and that the good news includes a flourishing life? It's a good question with which to approach the most important speech ever given in human history, if in fact this carpenter from Nazareth rose from the dead. And the very first words out of his mouth answer this question. They deal with it. To fully understand it, we have to do some work. But if we begin with the question, does Jesus have anything to say about human flourishing? And we hear him say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Deeply satisfied are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Flourishing are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Deeply satisfied are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Flourishing are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Flourishing or deeply satisfied are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A number of theologians like the word flourishing, and a pastor who I respect likes the word deeply satisfied. And both are important because the description Jesus is giving of a follower of him is one who is internally and externally transformed into a kingdom follower, and they flourish in their internal being and towards their neighbors. Macarism number 7 is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." This past week I preached on that, and I made a distinction between being a peacemaker and being a peacekeeper. A peacemaker is one who seeks the shalom of those that they find in their life out of love for God and neighbor. And a peacekeeper, we all have one of these in our family. I was one in one of the families that I grew up in, who runs around making sure everybody is happy. They do lots of little things to help people avoid conflict. But a peacemaker, when they see conflict, she or he considers it with wisdom, whether they have a role and how they can, out of love for God and neighbor, bring shalom to the situation. And what I was so excited about when my friend shared that connection she made during the service was that it pushes back on this theology or this preaching style that's absurdly, horribly wrong and destructive, which is that the good news is that we can be really tired for Jesus. Some preachers say this, some imply it, some tonally assert, you know what I mean, they yell, that the good news is that we can be exhausted for Jesus, and that's the flourishing Christian life that's available to you. Give away all of your time and money and talents, and God will repay you. And there are many, 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 many things to say about that theology. But what I noticed this week is Jesus, subtle, brilliant teacher that he is helping us see not only that his followers seek the shalom of everyone around us, they do so with wisdom. He did not say, "Blessed are the peacekeepers," those who go looking for conflict, those that run around incessantly without thought to their limits, without thought to whether they have skills or wisdom or circumstances or sympathy or empathy to bring to this specific conflict. It's a subtle point, but it's a beautiful and brilliant point. The followers of Jesus know that they're limited. They know that God is God and they are not, and they receive those limitations as a gift from him. They know that it's not just God-given limits, but graciously God-given limits. And we learn that with poor in spirit, that our need is entire. We mourn that there's violence and injustice and pain that we have no role in bringing shalom to. And therefore, we approach our life as a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper, where we offer the peace of God that transcends all understanding, the shalom, to our neighbors because of love for him and love for neighbor. But we do so when and where we can, within our limits, knowing that there is no more profound theology than the simple fact that God is God and we are not. The seventh Macarism is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God," who within their limits, because God has purchased our flourishing, not our exhaustive service. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God.